right, y'all. Get ready for another edition of News and Trends with your host, Dave and Lynn.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to News and Trends with Dave and Lynn. This is your host, David Coker, one of your hosts anyway, the gooder host. I'm with my partner. Yeah, the gooder host. I'm with my partner, Mr. Leonard Young, who I'll introduce in a moment, but I'm proprietor and owner of Dave Mark Inc. and also promoter. And all around good guy. I'm taking all of his lines right quick before he starts talking. But anyway, I'm here with my partner, Mr. Leonard Young. Hey, Len, what's going on?
Hey, everything is good. This is Leonard Young, CEO of National Black Guide, DelawareBlack.com, Black Media Specialist, the original all around good guy, and co-host of News and Trends with Dave and the Gooder. I'm sorry.
See, yeah, you got me off my game. He tried to stay on his game, but see, I got him.
Okay. Yeah, so let me backtrack. Everyone just act like you ain't here.
Rerun. Okay.
News and trends with the gooder guy and Lynn. There it is. Yep, Dave. How you doing? Man.
All right, man. I can't complain. Did you enjoy the day, man? Beautiful day today.
Well, you know, Dave, like we talked about earlier, today flew by. And unfortunately, I didn't fly with it, so I was a little behind schedule, legitimately all day long. Like kind of like you said, one step behind. Like I was one step behind all day long.
Yeah, I get it, because like you said, we talked earlier about it, and I was off yesterday, and I went into the office today, and I just felt the same way. I went in there, I was talking. One of my coworkers who works from home a couple of days a week, I was talking to her and I said, "Where are you? Are you in the office?" And I said, "Aren't you supposed to be? Is everything all right?" And then she said, "Well, you know, today's not my day to be in the office." And I said, "Well, yes, it is." And then I realized it was the wrong day of the week. She usually is there on Monday.
Right.
And I'm thinking that today was Monday because it's my first day of the week, you know. So I was off all day. Yeah, get the days all mixed up and everything. So it's been an interesting day, but I'm glad that the weather, you know, we talked about the weather last week. I'm glad that the weather is starting to cooperate a little bit, you know, and it was beautiful yesterday, beautiful today. So hopefully, but I know we're supposed to be getting some rain over the next day or so. But we'll see what happens. As long as it's warm, you know.
Yeah, well, so, you know, that's what I was gonna say. I'm okay with rain if it's like 70, 80 degrees, but you know, rain at 30, 40, and 50 is you know, totally
that's a different story.
Yeah, totally different story. And you know, I'll tell you, it's crazy. I was thinking the other day, I'm like, you know, it's almost the middle of April. Why is this? I mean, minus today, you know, still the middle of April. And I'm like, why is it still so cold outside? You know, like when does the sun start beaming and, you know, giving us this spring feeling? Because I don't feel nothing.
I was looking at TV last night, and one of the meteorologists I was looking at was saying this is supposed to be the week that the weather starts to change.
Uh-huh.
We'll see. It's supposed to go up to the 80s at some point during the week.
Okay. You know, I'm not mad at that.
Yeah. But so we'll see. We'll see if we can get above 60 and stay above 60 from this point on, you know? So,
right.
And because they even said that the cicadas are supposed to be coming back out.
Hold on. But Dave, I thought they said they only supposed to come once every 18 years.
But
19
I was watching
years.
the same news last night,
oh,
and
wow.
They said that the cicadas are coming back again, and they were supposed to come out today, but I didn't hear anything. So, because I know them things were, I don't know about your neighborhood, but my neighborhood,
yeah,
they sounded like a truck was running. You know what I mean?
They did.
It was loud. It was loud. It was really loud. There's a lot of trees back here where I am, in the cul-de-sac where I am, and you can hear them real loud.
Do you remember seeing the video of that guy who was, I can't remember if he was driving or he was at a gas station, and all these cicadas like literally swarmed over his like you couldn't even see anything.
I did see that video. Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about.
That was crazy.
That was crazy. That was scary. It was almost like the birds in that movie, The Birds.
Yeah.
Back in the day, you know. So, yeah, that was crazy. Yeah. So, well, I didn't hear them today. So hopefully they stay where they are for a little bit. So, but have you also noticed that during this time of year, usually by this time we see a lot of pollen. You know, you haven't really seen that here, right?
So you know, I don't have allergies, so like that stuff goes over my radar. So, you know, I really don't pay attention because it don't really affect me, but.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, one thing you guys who listen to us on a regular basis, we rarely agree to on certain things. If I say something, Leonard will always come with the opposite direction from me. So, you know. That didn't surprise me just then. But anyway.
Dave, let me ask this. Do you have allergies?
No, I never did. But I noticed over my latter years that I've had allergy-like symptoms, if you follow what I'm saying.
And is that related to pollen?
No, it never has been. But I just noticed that, you know, over the last 10 years or so, the pollen really comes really thick. And the only reason that I've ever paid attention to it is because when you look at your car, if you got a dark color car, even the light color cars, you can see that pollen. So like this piled on top of your cars.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember ever seeing that when I was coming up prior to the last 10 years.
But you know, you also said earlier, where you live now, there are a lot of trees.
I'm not just talking about where I live now.
Oh, so you're talking about everywhere.
Anywhere.
Got it.
Yeah. I'm not talking about. You can see that everywhere. But by this time, usually there's a lot of pollen. You can see them on your car. You can see it on your cars and whatever. But I haven't seen any pollen yet.
Yeah. Well, so
I'm sure the people, you know, people that have real major allergies, you know, of course, I know it's affected them, you know. But, it is what it is.
My thought is that it's not warm enough yet. Cause I mean, be honest, like, except for today, like this hasn't felt like spring. So I'm not surprised not to see a lot of springtime.
Yesterday felt like spring. Yesterday was pretty warm yesterday too. So, but we'll see. We'll see how things progress as it goes on. Maybe that's why the cicadas haven't come out yet.
Right.
So we'll see.
Exactly.
I did want to say one quick thing before we got started with our topics. And again, everyone, thank you for tuning in to News and Trends with Dave and Len. That's what you listen to at this time. And we really appreciate all that's tuned into us over the last few weeks, especially. We really thank you for listening, and you can always feel free to comment on anything that you hear. You can put it on our page, and we definitely will look at it and definitely give you feedback once we see it. So thank you for that. But I just wanted to say, just want to give prayers to people up in New York. Did you see what happened today?
Yeah, I did. Definitely tragic
and unexpected.
Well, I mean, I guess it's never expected.
Yeah,
but
you saw the videos, right?
So I don't know how many of them there were, but I did see one where people were coming out of the train. And like smoke was just like literally coming out behind them. So that was definitely probably scary for those people involved in it.
There was a couple of videos that had people laying on the ground. You could see blood and everything.
Okay, I did see one of those too.
Yeah. So just want to say, you know, and I have a lot of friends that are from New York area. So hopefully there's nobody that, you know, nobody that I know, loved one that was involved in that, but of course anybody was, we wanted to just give our prayers to, and hopefully things are, you know, because they were still looking for the guy that, you know, they were still looking for the guy, you know, so hopefully he's apprehended soon before anything like that happens again up there. So just wanted to say that. Okay.
Sure.
So let's get started with our news and trends today. So
okay. Well, Dave, it's funny you should ask, because this topic right here is just for you. Okay. Just for you. So recently, or maybe not recently, but around February 1st in the city of Nashville, the city council voted on a license plate reader program that pretty much, and you know the deal, they kind of go around and via, I guess, computer checking license plate, they can tell who owes tickets, who's not registered, you know, all that type of stuff. So there was, in Nashville, there's a firefighter. Once he found out about the vote that approved the license plate reader program, he posted on Twitter, and his exact words are, "I hate feeding into the illusion that America's government and existence is legitimate, so I'm not a fan of voting. So I'm no fan of voting. But the majority of Nashville City Council is white supremacist. I know it's boring, but millennials have to start caring about local action, local elections. These folks want us dead." So, you know, of course, he's an active firefighter, city of Nashville. He's commenting via Twitter. So I guess his full time is a firefighter. Part time, he's a local comedian slash touring comedian. And he actually posted this under his comedian stage name account, which is Sir Joshua Black. So that happened right around February 1st. Now, more recently, I think in the month of March March, he was suspended from his job at the Nashville Fire Department, with his supervisor said basically that he went against, you know, employer policy. And of course, that policy that they were referencing was when via Twitter, he called the city council a bunch of white supremacists. So now he is suing the city and basically saying that, his constitutional rights for being able to speak his mind. And, you know, part of his defense is, or part of the defense coming from his lawyers is that, you know, he risks his life every day, you know, protecting the citizens of Nashville. And, you know, he's not even able to speak his mind. So, you know, I thought this was perfect for you because, you know, you kind of mentioned, you know, some of the employment and previous employment that you had. And I'm sure you have stories, but, you know, what are your thoughts as far as people who work for the city, state, or county government commenting, you know, let's say via social media on those same entities?
Wow, that's a loaded question there. You know, social media has become a great thing for people normally would not open their mouths. So it gives that type of person a chance to say all kinds of things via social media, because if they didn't have this as a tool, they probably wouldn't say much of anything at all.
Right. Or it wouldn't get out to everybody. You know,
or it wouldn't get out one-on-one. Or it wouldn't get out. It'd be one-on-one. Yes. When you have these types of situations, especially when it comes to government agencies or state or city agencies, you have to be real careful. Like, if this person worked for the state and they were putting stuff like this on their page on a regular basis, somebody from the state would find them and say something to them, you know? Or it could be a client or somebody or somebody that has come in contact with the person and knows that they work for the state who can make a phone call and blow up this guy's whole world with one phone call.
Right.
You know, where would that phone call go to? Look, let me tell you something. I work for the state of Delaware. No state agency that I can think of offhand in the state of Delaware wants to get a phone call from the governor's office.
I'm sure.
Yeah. Okay. So you laugh. So you already know that's not a call you want to get, because that means that somebody has taken a moment to make a phone call to the governor's office and complain about something that was not done, or something that was done that wasn't done correctly, or whatever the case may be, but they were not happy. Okay? When we get those kind of calls, it's not good for any state agency, you know, because that means that somebody did something, and it may not be done, it might not have been done maliciously or anything like that,
right?
But it was done. Or at least that person who made the phone call felt it was done that way. Okay. So if this guy worked for the state of Delaware and he's out there saying stuff like he said, or putting stuff out there the way he put it out there, and somebody made that phone call to the state and said, hey, look, I just read this. This person works for you, doesn't he? Doesn't he work for the state of Delaware? Aren't you his boss? And you have this guy on social media saying stuff like this? You want to, I tell you with a quickness that they would get a phone call from that governor's office to his job. And he can be in hot water right from that point on. So for people that go on social media, or people that have a lot to say, now he put this under his stage name, right? Right.
Correct.
Thinking that maybe it wouldn't be found out, you know, or he can blame it on his alter ego, not knowing that his alter ego is also him too.
Better say he got hacked, you know, so someone else did it.
Well, you know, that's what they do.
Yeah.
If you follow what I'm saying. Yeah. They do that all the time. So, you know, number 45 did that for four years, didn't he? Said that wasn't him, you know. So, but, you know, it's just, I get what he was trying to say. I understand where he was going, but you can't use the words and think that's going to be all right.
So let me ask you this. So, you know, I think it's kind of hard, because how much can you say and how much can you not say? Because, I mean, of course, okay, well, Dave, let me say this. Okay, so he called him white supremacist, which, you know, definitely is kind of extreme. You know, that probably definitely put a feeling in a lot of white people. Would it have been different if he had said he thought they were racist?
I think so. It makes a difference, because you can say racist, because we hear it all the time.
Right.
But when you start getting into that white supremacy, you better have some stuff to back it up.
Yeah.
You know, because even with the races, you need to have receipts. You know, mm-hmm. You know, you need to be able to say, I mean, we watched a bunch of racist people climb up the walls of the Capitol.
Right. January 6th, I mean, never forget. Look,
We didn't need paper receipts for that. We watched it. You know what right. I'm saying?
So, live on TV.
Yeah, that's right. It was there, you know. But if you're going to go out like this dude and say what they were saying, and he could be right. Excuse me. He could be right, because the whole thing has to deal with the fact that he felt, you know, that his area was being targeted. You know, which it could be. I mean, maybe there's a he didn't say what type of area it was. Maybe it is an area where a lot of that stuff happens.
Yeah.
So that's the flip side, you know. So does that mean that they're racist because they know that this area probably has a lot of unpaid tickets?
Right. Possibly.
Unregistered vehicles, you know, probably vehicles that are being used for things other than what they're supposed to be used for, that type
right,
of thing.
Right.
So if that's the case, then he can't say they're white supremacists because they're doing their job, you know, but we also need to find out if they're doing that in all the neighborhoods.
Right. Now, you know, so with that said, do you think the fire department would just in suspended, put in on unpaid suspension?
It all depends on how high it went. if it went up high, yes. You know, because
right,
because he could have lost his job. You know, and it depends on whether, because you said that he's suing them, right?
Yeah. So he's currently at this time suing the city. He has an attorney.
Yeah. So, yeah. Well, he's probably not going to be working that job too much longer.
Right. he better start working on his comedy routines and
that comedy. He might need to call K Mac or less.
Right.
or less guest order or last show. He might need to talk to her. But obviously he ain't doing no clean comedy apparently. So, you know, I guess the only thing I could say is, you know, right now he's lucky to still have a job.
Yeah.
Because like I said, when you make those kind of claims, and especially if you're doing it on social media, you gotta have the backup. And I don't remember you saying too much about receipts.
No, I mean, you know, I think these are just general. Well, you know what I think it is too? So, you know, let's backtrack. Last week and 2 weeks ago, we were talking about the Will Smith slap. And you remember one of the things we talked about is like, okay, what did we learn from the Will Smith slap? And one of the things we learned is
don't leave with your face.
Well, I mean, not just that, but we also learned that what you say can get you smacked, right?
I think in this
situation, and just social media in general, people say a lot of stuff thinking that there'll be no repercussions to what they say. And I'm sure when he said they're white supremacist, he probably thought it was, you know, funny and, you know, put it out there, but I'm sure he didn't expect that to come back to him. And, you know, so coming back to him was like that Will Smith slapping him in the face. Now he got a suspension.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's true. I think the whole thing is, well, this dude, something just popped into my head when he just popped. This dude, if he keeps running his mouth, you're gonna hear the city say keep or
keep our councilman names out your mouth, right?
Yeah. That's what's gonna happen, and if that happens, you know. Yeah, he gonna get smacked, all right. Yeah. You know, so yeah, he definitely gonna get smacked. So, just keep that in mind.
Yeah.
That's gonna be an interesting story to follow, see how he makes out, because I hope he has some friends.
What you say, friends in high places?
Yeah. I hope he has some friends to keep him out, to keep him safe. You know, because you going around calling people white supremacists. Yeah, you might want to be looking over your shoulder. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, you know, especially in Nashville. I mean, we're
they're
a little farther south than we are.
Yeah, he might need to move to Delaware.
Northern Delaware, not Southern Delaware.
Well, you can live in Milford down in that area.
Well,
you
know, so. All right, live down there if you want to.
Yeah. Well, we'll see how that guy makes. In that story, okay. So, what you got next?
So the next story we're going to talk about, and this was really shocking and surprising to me. There is a volleyball coach, a new volleyball coach at Grambling State University, and I think she was literally there. So she came in midseason. When she came in, this girls volleyball course or girls volleyball. When she came in, the team was 11-17 overall, 500 percent or, you know, 50% in their conference win loss. After three practices, she did something that kind of shook up the collegiate world. She let go of all 18 volleyball players, scholarships or not, didn't matter to her. She let them all go. She let them know that their scholarships were not being renewed and individual meetings with each one. The athletic director pretty much backed her up, you know, basically saying, you know, she came in, you know, we kind of give her full control to do what she, you know, what she needs to do. Immediately after letting those 18 players go, she already had 14 or 15 new players coming on board. So, you know, a lot of people think that move was kind of premeditated. You know, she kind of moved to Grambling, you know, let all those players go to move in people that she wanted and, you know, kind of, you know, get them on scholarship. A little bit of a backstory. She was a former player on that team. So she was on the Grambling volleyball team in 2007, and she was a standout volleyball player at that time. So, you know, just kind of, you know, word around the internet, the social media streets, you know, a lot of people thinking that, you know, that was, well, I mean, it's probably 50-50. A lot of people think that's highly unfair. And then there are a lot of people who just think, well, you know, their record, they had more of a losing record. You know, she came in and she, after three practices, she deemed that they were not up to whatever caliber she thought she could get better players for. So she let them go. So, you know, interested in kind of hearing your thoughts as well.
Okay. All right. Well, I think this is probably interesting because nowadays, when it comes to athletics, you know, with these colleges and universities and so forth, depending on the schools that they may be at, it's such a opportunity to get money, you know, generated through certain athletics. Now, when you're giving out scholarships and so forth, you know, of course, you're trying to get a return on the scholarship money that you're giving out. But right now, it's so hard to keep players because of what's happened over the last couple of years with COVID. You know, the players can move around. Both the men and the women can move around now freely, and they can play for a fifth and sometimes a sixth year, depending on their situation, and move around from school to school freely. It used to be if you were a scholarship athlete or you were on a team and you decided that you didn't like it there and you wanted to go to another school, you would put your name in the transfer portal to go to another school. You would get to that other school, but you would have to sit out for a period of time, you know, unless it was in a completely different division, you know. So, like, if you went from the D1 to D2, a lot of times you didn't have to sit out because you were in a lower division, you know. But, you know, a lot of times you did have to sit out. Now, in this situation with this volleyball coach, yeah, it sounds premeditated to me. It sounded like she knew exactly what she was doing.
Yeah, I'm like, all 18 players.
I don't know if these girls were buying into her program, though. Maybe that's what it was. Maybe she didn't feel, because for her not to keep at least one of them.
Yeah.
They must not. Maybe they didn't want her there. Maybe it was, you know, maybe they wasn't going to play for her. Maybe they could have had allegiance to the former coach. It could have been a number of things that might have led to this decision. But it is definitely not something that you hear on a regular basis where somebody would come in and just release a whole team.
Yeah.
You know, and get the backing of the school. Now, that tells me there's another part to this story, because if the school backed her and didn't say you can't do that, then there had to be something going on there. It had to be, you know. And like I said, there's probably another part to the story that we're not being told, that she was able to get away with that. And then bring in a whole new slew of players, and they got scholarships on top. So they got the scholarships that the other kids lost.
So basically. it didn't specifically say they got the scholarships, but it did say that 12 scholarships were available. And
they got scholarships. Some of them did.
Well, I'm sure they did, but the article just said, you know, once the 18 were let go, there were 12 scholarship spots available. So, I mean, of course, it makes sense. It just, you know, I'm sure Grambling after this didn't want to say too much, because the more you say and the more you show the progress of what's happening, the you know, just.
They don't want the NCAA involved.
Right.
They don't want them coming to investigate, because apparently they have to find out why that, you know, even though, you know, it may not be, you know, one of these big, big, big schools, but even still, it's still an NCAA school. They have to make sure that what she did was legal. And apparently, maybe they already did that investigation, because she was already allowed to bring in those other players, I'm sure the NCAA had to be made aware of that prior to her bringing them in. So that's interesting that she was able to get away with that, because I can't believe she didn't keep one or two people.
Yeah, and you know, and that's the thing I was thinking too. I'm like, okay, even if so, one. Okay, so she came to three practices. So I'm curious. The article didn't say, was there a game in there? You know, like, do you? Because you know, if I'm loyal to a coach and there's a coach who comes in who I'm not feeling, and I may, like, you know, kind of like half-ass during some practices. But if I'm a true competitor, when it's game time, like, I'm gonna show up and play. You know what I mean? Like, I don't care. You know, new coach, old coach. You know, like, I'm going to leave everything on the floor. So, you know, three practices, like, I'm curious, like, what did you see in those three practices? You know, it'd be different if like, okay, you had a basketball practice and you bring Michael Jordan in and he's making everyone look like crap. But if everyone's on the same level and they're all practicing, like, how can you really tell who's better and who's not better unless it's, you know, technique on a couple of things? So, I mean, definitely weird to me, but yeah.
Maybe it wasn't what she saw. Maybe it was what she didn't see.
True. And you know, like, one thing I was gonna say, and you know, of course, I gotta bring back my college career. So you know, of course, at Florida A&M University, I was on the swim team, and the first 2 years. The first two years we had a coach, right? Black guy. And then on my third year, when we came to the first practice / team meeting, there was a white guy, a white coach. And we're like, what happened to Jason? And he's like, well, you know, Jason's not coming back no more. And everyone on the team.
They didn't even tell you guys that y'all didn't have a coach?
No, we did not know. I'm sorry. This was my second year. And we had a white guy, and you know, we're all upset because we like Jason. Like, Jason was younger, you know, he was cool. And when we started, we weren't feeling this coach. He was strict, he was hard, you know what I mean? But it's one of the things where, like, we didn't care for him. But still, you know, when he started giving us the workouts and everything, like, we did what we needed to do. So, you know, I mean, it's just kind of hard to, well, it probably would have been a different story if, let's say, cut mid-season. I'm sure that would have been a different kind of animosity rather than going home for the summer and coming back. But I don't know. Long story short, it's just hard to believe she cut every last player and, you know, scholarship or no scholarship. So. I mean,
you know how bad that team had to be for her to do that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I mean, for her to get away, because you figure if she had anybody on that team that was a high performer, you know, or somebody that maybe was all conference, or maybe someone who had a good reputation as being a great player, you know, any of that, then I can't imagine that she would have cut that person or anyone like that person. That's why I'm thinking it had to be something that was going on, maybe with attitudes. maybe with coach, you know, whether they were coachable, those type of things, I think had to be the situation. Because maybe when she was in those three practices, she tried to get them to do things and they totally egged her out.
Yeah, possibly.
We're going to do what we want to do. So I'm sure there's a lot to that story. It's funny nowadays, you know, we're so used to being able to TMZ stuff, you know what I mean? You know, because there's proof in the pudding nowadays on it. You know, you think somebody's not recording something.
Right.
You know,
somebody got it on video or something.
Yeah, somebody got it. So I'm sure there's a reason for that. And now that, you know, you brought the story up, it makes me wonder, just what were those girls doing in practice?
I don't know. Well, so I'm surprised, and kind of like you said, since we live in a TMZ era, I'm surprised none of them have posted anything.
Maybe they were wrong.
But you know, even nowadays when people are wrong,
and maybe they didn't want to put. And then, but they, maybe they said there's speak another out. Thing. Somebody
might speak out. Bring it up.
Somebody going, but you know, unless there was some type of NDA, you know, maybe they all wanted to leave. I don't know. Maybe they didn't want to play for.
But Dave, I get not playing, but what student wants to give up their scholarship? You know what I mean? Now you got to go home to your dad, Dave Coker, and tell him you don't got no money for school. Like, what you got to do now?
And if they were not that good, they probably couldn't get into another school on scholarship. Yeah, you know,
plus mid-year, too.
Yeah, we need to look up that roster and see where they are now. That's what we need to do. You know, yeah, we definitely need to do that. So I might do that. And folks, you probably hear some more about this story after we do a little bit of research. We're going TMZ it and see what we can find out. Okay,
you say bring them on live.
Bring them on. You know, maybe we'll get one of them on and they can come on our podcast and talk about it. So tell us what happened. So what happened was, that's what they want to talk about. Okay. Yeah. All right. So, all right. Well, story we'll be following. That's another story we'll be following. Okay.
There it is.
All right. What we got next?
All right. So just a reminder, you are listening to News and Trends with Dave and Lynn. You can find us on all podcast platforms as well as Facebook and YouTube. Every Tuesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So tell a friend. Make sure you check in every time. All right. So, Dave, the next one, and this one probably just a little shorter subject, but, you know, I saw this on social media today. I'm not sure if you know who Grant Cardone is. He's like a multimillionaire who talks about business, marketing, real estate. He almost reminds me of a tamer version of Joe Rogan. I mean, like he says a lot of stuff.
Yeah, he tries to get people. He says up. A lot of crazy stuff too. Yeah, he does.
So, and then there's a lady. Her name is Stormy. I forget her last name. Maybe Stormy Wellington. She's a Black multimillionaire. She's one of the leaders with the network marketing company called TLC, Total Life Changes. And in fact, she's probably the number one African-American, in that organization. So everyone's probably in her downline. So anyway, so there's a video going around social media where Stormy Wellington is with Grant Cardone and his wife. I think her name is Elena or Ella Cardone. And Grant Cardone is discussing with his wife whether or what's the proper terminology for calling us. Is it Black people or is it African American? Right.
Yeah.
So he kind of starts it up. And Dave, did you see the video? Happen to see the video?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yep. So he starts it up. And then from there, his wife chimes in and saying, I think they want to be called African American. And Stormy Wellington, who is definitely, she's a black female. She's like, no, she's like, I, you know, they prefer to be called, we prefer to be called Black. So now they're going back and forth on what we should be called. So one of them called, there's another Black guy in like in the vicinity. Mm-hmm. So they call him over and they're like, what do you want to be called? And he's like, man, you can call me Black. He's like, I don't want to be called African-American. And of course, Stormy's like, see. So I posted that on social media and it was so crazy because I never really thought this was a real question until I saw all the responses. And I'm not going to go over the responses now, but when I took a minute to stop and think about it, if there was a preference of being called Black or African-American, you know, I feel like I want to be called Black.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I've never really thought about it like that, but when I did think about it, I'm like, yeah, you know, call me Black, call me a Black man.
Let me say this. It is funny that you brought this up because my pastor actually said something about this subject in his sermon Sunday.
Look at God.
He was talking. I know, there you go. But what happened was he talked about how he was talking to, he has people from around the world that kind of tune in to his Facebook Live when he does, on Sundays, and when he does his Bible study as well. And there was a woman from India who happened to ask him, he said she wasn't sure what color he was, you know,
color
because
your
you know,
when was? You're,
yeah, because uh-huh. Think about it, you know, you can look one way, but be another way, you know, it's just like right. Dark, you know, Latin Americans or Hispanic, you never know until they start talking that they're not Black or whatever the case may be. So she wanted to make sure what color he was. Based on, of course, we don't know how good of a picture she might be looking at when she's looking at it online or whatever.
Sure.
So he says the politically correct answer, African American. And she said, oh, and then he said she got a little quiet. And then she says, you know, she types in, what part of Africa are you from? And he just started laughing. He said, I don't know.
Right.
Like that, right? So he got busted by saying that answer. You know what I mean? Because when that answer, look, I've been Black all my life. I don't know about this African American thing. I think it was done to be politically correct, you know, because back when I was growing up, I only heard Black. I didn't hear African-American until, gosh, maybe in my 30s, that it became really, really said a lot.
Right.
You know? So, no, I'm not African-American, because you tell an African person you're African-American.
Mm-hmm.
Where you say that, you don't want that different. Conversation. You do not want that conversation. That's a whole different conversation, because they feel they're African American. If they are a person who was born of African descent
and living in US citizen,
or of African descent born in America,
right.
But they're African. You know what I'm saying? So, so they're the real African Americans. I just never got the whole thing. Why do we have to be called something other than what we are?
Right. Yeah, I mean, I agree. I mean, you know, I think for the most part, we don't go around calling white people, oh, he's Irish American, he's German American, he's French American. It's like, he's white.
Yeah, that's what he is. I mean, they have their own thing about what you know, nationality or race they are, or whatever, you know, a lot of white people don't say Jewish people are white. You know what I'm saying? You know,
right.
But we look at them; they're white to us, right? You know, so that's what we look at.
Hey, I can't tell the difference.
No, you can't. You know, the names usually is the thing that gives most you know, when I was looking at the video, and you could tell the black woman was getting a little upset, you know.
Uh-huh.
You know, and then, but then his wife was giving it back to her. Did you notice that?
Yeah. And it's funny, it's like, the white lady almost seemed like she had, did you see how she was poking her finger at the black lady?
Yeah, she had attitude. Yeah,
she did. And she had an attitude over she thought African American was a better thing to call us rather. Well, I mean, I can't lie. I'm sure some of our listeners, I don't know who they are, but I'm sure some of them probably prefer African American. But I personally, when I
used to always think it was a bougie term. I thought it was one of those terms that people would use when it was appropriate or best suitable to use around a certain group of people. You know what I'm saying?
So almost like when you're applying for your job and they'd be like, I'm African American.
Yeah. Because they're just trying to be politically correct. That's all they're trying to be. You know.
Right.
You're applying for a job, you see that African American, then you make your own box and put black. I'm black. You know?
Right. Or you cross out the American, African American, and just write black next to it.
Yeah, that's what you do. So, I these kind of conversations have been going on for years. They will be going on for years. And I just think that, you know, we just have to, you got to be comfortable in the skin that you're in order to know who you are.
Right.
You know, and a lot of us, I've become very comfortable in the skin that I'm in, and I know what I am, and I am definitely black. Okay.
Ditto.
Little, you know, yeah, there you go. So to be young, gifted, and black.
Hey, there it is. I just want to bring it up. Like, you know, I just thought it was funny, never thought about it. So probably a good speaking point, you know, curious what our listeners may think. You can comment on our Facebook page. In fact, just put a one word comment, just put black on there or, you know, African American either or.
Yeah. That'd be interesting to see what you guys have to say because go to our Facebook page and definitely do that. Yeah. That'd be great.
All right, Dave. So it looks like you up. My topics are exhausted for the day.
Yeah, we're going. Yeah, I know. Linda used his mind too much, so I'm going to give him a little break here. You know, so we're going to move on to something that I think some of us are familiar with, and it's the sign of the times, is the way of the world. It, you know, it's all those cliches at the moment. Let's talk about online dating. I know everybody's, you know, salivating
crickets,
to hear
crickets,
this stuff.
Crickets.
Yeah. I just found this little chart. I was just fooling around, and I found this chart about online dating, the pros and the cons. And I just thought it was interesting because you've done online dating before, right?
Yeah, I mean, not a lot. I mean, I feel like I probably haven't been online dating since like maybe 2015, you know, of course. But I mean, I did a little bit, but I feel like now it's probably like the number one go-to, where before it was like, okay, like, you know.
Yeah. And, you know, there was some stigma in it in the beginning when they first started, you know, doing the online, you know, everybody was worried about being careful and all that kind of stuff. But now, it's the way of the world. That's how you meet people. I mean, you know, you don't meet people in supermarkets and in the library and these type church and these type of places anymore. You could be sitting right next to a person in church and be online talking to her online, like, you know,
and not even know it.
Not even know it. You'd be like, you look familiar to me. you know. But I wanted to go over some of these pros and cons and see how whether people agree with why people feel that online dating may be better or may not be the way to go. The pros, online dating is quite convenient. Well, yeah, things
definitely
are definitely convenient. I'm going to just go through some of these. I'm not going to go through all of them, but I'm going to go through some of the more popular ones here. A huge variety of potential partners. Yeah, well, you got a smorgasbord out there. You know, you definitely have that. Yeah. here's a cue one. You don't have to dress up for online dating.
That is true.
The problem is most people try to wear as least amount of clothes as possible. Dating online may take away some of your insecurity. Okay. All right. I can see that. Let me see. Fear of rejection might be lower. And that's an interesting one. I guess if you're online and you're meeting people online and you're talking and whatever, you could be a lot more cautious about putting your whole heart into things. But if you do happen to put your whole heart in it, and then the person says, well, you know, I'm not feeling the same way that you are, then if there's no physical tie there, then you can probably move on a lot easier, if you know what I'm saying.
I agree with that. You know, I think especially if there's a lot of variety. So I feel like online dating, it's easy to talk to 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, maybe even 10 people at one time. And I mean, you may not be talking all day. So, you know, you get one rejection out of 10, that may not be too bad. Where physical dating, you may only be able to date one or two people at a time. And, you know, getting rejected by one person and having one backup or maybe no backups, you know.
That's a big difference there.
Yeah, I can definitely see that being a little bit more feeling rejected.
Yeah, definitely. I'll read one more on the pro side. Online dating can be interesting. Yeah, definitely. it definitely can be, because there's so many characters out there in the world, man. I mean, you know, it used to be that it was just the men were the more extreme, crazy people. But women, man, nowadays is even now, you know, because there are some interesting characters out there, both on the men's side and the women's side. So, but that was some of the pros. Let's look at some of the cons. Online dating may attract the wrong types of partners. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you can meet somebody, they can be the world online.
You know, plus everything online is based off pictures for a majority of the people. Like, you know, so it's
because, you know, when you're on a dating site and you don't have a picture up, you might want to, and unless you got a lot to say and they can read what you have to say, you ain't going to get no traffic.
No.
Because people want to see little pictures. In the beginning, when the dating sites first came up, you can get away maybe not having the picture up there, because a lot of people used to say,
right,
you know, I'm just being cautious and all of that kind of stuff. Plus, the type of work I do, I didn't want to put my picture out there. You can get away with that back then. You can't get away with it now.
Nah.
You know, it's just not going to happen. Yeah.
Plus, you know, like I say specifically for the ladies, you've probably seen it on social media. Some of the ladies, well, hold on, let me be politically correct. Some of these ladies before makeup and after makeup, you know, they're going, in fact, let me just leave it right there before I get in trouble.
Yeah,
I mean, totally different.
Yeah.
You know,
we also got to talk about the men, because some men who, you know, we have men that will die some things and, you know,
cover
so
up
forth and so forth and cover up and put on toupees and or have caps on all the time, and then they take the cap off and they got the horseshoe haircut, you know, that type of thing, you know. It happens on both scales. It really does.
Sure it does.
Let's see. And here the next one said people often don't look like their pictures.
I'm sure.
Well,
Yeah, sure. Yeah. They name one person who's gonna put some bad pictures up on their profile. they're gonna put the best, the glammed up, the all that.
Yeah, well, remember when glamour shots was big, mm-hmm. you know, they put the glamour shot pictures up or whatever right. the case may be. Yeah, definitely. It's been, yeah, that is a very popular one right there. You can't see the reaction of other persons or people, of the other person or people, because you can't see exactly what's going on with the, you can't see what's actually going on with their expressions or anything else. Because of what you're saying and what you are thinking, put it that way.
Yeah. So I'd like to disagree with that a little bit. I feel like now it's in the age of video. So I'm sure there's a lot more video chat dating going on than used to be before.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It has changed over like, over the last 10 years, it's probably more video chatting than anything than before. But, you know, but even still, you're looking at a video.
True.
You know, so that's definitely. Online dating can be costly.
Can be what?
Costly.
Oh, okay. Somebody explain that to me.
It can run your pocket.
Oh, like having memberships to the sites?
Yeah. Between that and then also connecting with people and, you know, people trying to run your pockets, you know, to see, you know, if they look, we got TV
people
shows
trying
like
to get money,
Fiance,
scammers,
and all of these kind of shows. You know, these guys are spending thousands and thousands of dollars to meet people, you know, and it can be costly if you think about it. You know, right. It could be costly. It can also be frustrating. Because, you know, you're trying to connect with somebody, you may not be on the same schedule as that person, because people tend to want to date people outside of the area that they live in.
Sure.
That's always been interesting to me, by the way, is that you don't want to date somebody who lives near you. So that's another reason it could be costly, because you're going to have to travel to get to that person.
Well, Dave, you know, just like we said, you don't want to date your coworkers. Like you don't want to date you don't want to date people too close who you guys see all the time.
Yeah,
potentially.
Well, that's true. Well, when you live in a state, yeah, there you go. You hurry up, put that out there. When you live in a state like Delaware, as small as Delaware, of course, you know, we always talk about, you know, there's a famous game called 6 degrees of separation. You know. Everybody knows somebody, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's the thing. So, fake profiles are a problem.
I'm sure.
Well, we know that's a big
catfish.
Problem. You know, yeah. That's a big problem. And Instagram, Facebook, you name them, they all got fake profiles on them. Even with some of the games that people play, you know, because people meet people on games, you know, like I do the Scrabble and some of the other games, and you'd be surprised how many fake profiles are on those Scrabble games where they'll
on the games?
Start on the games, yeah. And then people will try to talk to you and they'll ask you, you know, questions, you know, start getting into financial stuff. Oh, I'm in Bitcoin. Are you familiar with it? You know, or I'm a gold trader and all this kind of stuff, trying to get you caught up in what they do and everything, and of course try to get you, you know. So yeah, definitely, you know, so you got to be aware of that when it comes to this kind of stuff. What else? People may insult you, you know, I mean, when you're online they can say whatever they want to say. You meet somebody, right. You may not be up to their standards or whatever, or, you know, you're thinking that you're vibing and then all of a sudden, you know, they start
ghosted.
Going off on you. Yeah. So that's another thing. You don't know the intentions of what the other person may have. You really don't. They might be in it just for one thing,
What's
which
that?
is riding horses.
So, you know, I put you on the spot. Like every time you say something like that, I gotta make you spell it out.
Yeah, going bareback on horses or whatever the case may be. Yeah. So, but that, you know, if you don't like riding horses, then you may not want to do online dating, you know, so that's what I'm saying. So, let me see. And people, you know, one of the last things is that people will lie regarding their dating profiles. And of course, there's a lot of lying going on online, you know, so.
And so offline.
It's just, and off. Yeah, offline. That's a good one, yeah. But this is the world we're in, folks. This online dating is pretty crazy. And it does definitely, but it's the way of the world. People don't want to have to spend time trying to get to know a person anymore by doing the face-to-face thing because it's too awkward in a lot of cases. A lot of people, I know somebody who considers himself to be an expert online dater. And he says, you know, he knows when he met somebody that he feels that he can really have a decent relationship with if he has like 5 steps that he goes through. And if he gets to that 5th step, he said he knows he's in, you know. I'm not going to go through all of the steps, but he kind of told me, and I can understand why he said that, you know, but he just says that, you know, so when he meets somebody online, he goes through those 5 steps. And if he gets to 3 and then stop, he's done. You know, if he gets to 4, he doesn't make it to 5, he's done. But if he makes it to 5, he's going to get that person a shot, you know?
And you know, it's funny because before you said, you know, you weren't going to say him. I was curious what his 5 steps were, but
I know you were. That's why I said I'm not going to say
it. Yeah, it may not be appropriate for this show.
Yeah, yeah. I am not going to go there. But all I'm going to say is, it's not as bad as you may think. But the 5th step definitely ends up in meeting, and the reason that they're meeting. So I'll just put it that way. So yeah. We would like to know if you guys have any opinions on online dating, or if you want to share some stories or whatever. You can go to our Facebook page and put your story out there. We would love to read what you had to say. You can consider this our Steve Harvey segment, and you know, you can let us know what what you had to say about the online dating. Keep in mind, this is News and Trends with Dave and Lynn. And we always look forward to seeing any feedback that you have out there. So please definitely let us know your thoughts on that subject. Okay. You have anything you want to add before I move on?
No, Dave, that online dating is foreign to me. So I'm just going to stay out of it. Okay. Keep my mouth closed.
Here we go. Here we go. Yeah. Y'all know what that is, right? Yeah. I'm not going to say the word, but that's, you know, He's copping out on us, guys. He's copping out on us. So, but I'm going to keep it moving. So, all right. This is a good subject. This next one coming up, because Glenn and I always talk about stuff like this all the time about the biggest missed business opportunities ever. And I found a list of some of the biggest missed opportunities ever. But what made me think about this? And I mentioned this on a couple of shows. Lynn hasn't watched this thing yet, and I keep trying to mention to him. It's a good thing to watch.
I've seen parts of it. What's the name?
Okay, parts of it. That means he hasn't watched it. So it's called Winning Time, and it's Showtime. It's about the building of the Los Angeles Lakers when they drafted Magic Johnson. And started building what they call Showtime back in the day during the 70s and the 80s, the late 70s and the 80s. So there's a scene in there, and I don't want to say the whole thing because I don't want to be a spoiler alert, but I guess I could say it because they already showed it, but there's a scene in there where Magic Johnson is trying to make a decision about what shoe company he's going to sign with. At the time, the top company in the shoe, in the basketball sneaker business, was Converse. Dr. J had made Converse pretty famous with his shoe. He used to have a shoe called the Doctor. Then when Magic and Larry Bird came into the league, the Converse went after both of them to sign with Converse and so forth. Larry signed with them. Magic ended up signing with them only after being approached by a guy named Phil Knight. And for some of you guys who know anything about basketball sneakers and so forth, you know who Phil Knight is. Phil Knight was one of the founding members of Nike. And he stopped Magic Johnson after a meeting he had with Converse and pitched to him about joining Nike. And he showed him a sneaker that they had designed just for him. And it was like the first pair of basketball sneakers for the NBA, and had the familiar swoosh on it, and it had on written on it Magic. Magic kind of liked the sneakers. He thought they were hot. And he asked him, he said, "Man, I like these." He said, "But can you match the signing bonus that Converse is going to give me," which was $100,000. Doesn't sound like a lot of money now, but it was back then, you know. So, and of course, Nike just starting out said, "No, we can't match it." So, so Magic said, "Well, you know, next thing you know, he signs with Converse." Okay. Magic made a lot of money with Converse with his sneaker. But if he had signed with Nike, he would have made $5.8 $2 billion. Not the money, a lot more money than Magic ever made with Converse. But he chose not to, because see what happened was Nike went on and found somebody else to pitch their sneaker. I think you might have heard of Michael Jordan. And we know what happened with that. Billions and billions of dollars. So that was a missed opportunity. Let's talk about some other ones.
Hold on, Dave. Can I throw my two cents in there?
Oh, here we go. All right.
Okay, so I'm going to play devil advocate on that. So I understand the missed opportunity. But then also, you know, when we think about the averages of people making and people not. So it could have been just as likely that Magic would have taken the stock option, and Nike might have gone out of business, you know? So it's almost like, okay, like, you know, some people just get lucky. So, you know, even deciding, okay, am I going to take $100,000 or am I going to take $100,000 of stock? Right. So
the stock at that time was 0.18.
Okay. And, you know, I say, because
so if he took $100,000 of stock, just imagine.
I mean, I get it. But Dave, on the flip side, imagine this. Coming up, you have kids, and someone offers you an opportunity on, you know, some type of stock or some type of risk investment, and you put your $100,000 in, and unfortunately, that stock does not go up. It bankrupts, and then you come out with nothing. So, you know, I get it. I feel like that was just one of those situations where, so I don't fault him for that, but I do agree. I mean, of course, if he had gone with it, he would have had it. But then on the flip side too is, okay, so the money Magic made with Converse, imagine if he had just invested all that into real estate, the stock market, you know, some other investments, you know, all those years, maybe not spending, you know, that money as well may have gone up to $1 billion by now.
You do know that Magic is one of the top businessmen in the world. You do know that, right?
Yeah, I agree. I'm just saying.
I mean, you know how many things he's invested in over the years.
Right. You know, and I get
IMAX,
it.
theaters.
I'm just saying in terms of, you know, he could have invested that money on his own too, and, you know, maybe done just as well. Because, I mean, think about it. Like, let's say Nike had bankrupted. People probably would have been calling him a dummy. Yo, why, you know, why you promote that company so long and then they went broke and left them no money?
Well, the good thing is that he made money with Converse. So that's the great thing.
Yeah, true.
He just didn't make the money that Michael made off the Converse. So, but that was just one of the things. Of course, you and I always, you've referred to it a couple of times, talk about the Home Depot deal. You know, so you and I talk about that a lot because of the story that I told Len about Home Depot. But here, these are some interesting stories that we have here. I'm going to read a couple of them just to tell you about how different things could have been. I'm going to take it back to the 1800s and start with this first one.
Oh, my goodness.
But that just tells you.
But
listen, this just tells you how this money opportunities, how far back this could go with people just not thinking. Okay? Listen to this. In 1876, Alexander Graham Bell, we heard that name before, had sent speech down a gadget he called the telephone. Now, he wanted to commercialize it and offered the patent to Western Union for $100,000, okay? The equivalent of $2.4 million today, okay? He told them that he wanted to install telephones in every city in America. They said no and described the device as idiotic. In 2014, the world reached a point where there are more active mobile phone devices than people on the planet, according to the service that put this out. So even he knew back then that was going to be something that was going to be needed to be sold. And nobody, you know, of course, Western Union said, oh, they thought that was the most idiotic thing they ever did, that they ever heard. So that was just one story going back on how far it was. They talked about I could read all these because I find all of them fascinating, first of all. But here's a popular one. Hewlett Packard. Of course, some of you people might have heard this story. Back in the 1970s, Steve Wozniak was working for Hewlett Packard. He tried to get the company interested in a new personal computer he was building, but it was rejected, and the people would never use computers, saying that the people would never use computers in their home. Instead, he and his friend, Steve Jobs, went off into their garage and built it themselves. The result was the Apple I computer. Nolan Bushnell was Steve Jobs' first boss when he designed games at Atari. Naturally, Jobs approached him for capital when he launched his business, Apple Computers. Jobs offered Bushnell a third of the company for $50,000 in the 1970s, which is equivalent of $242,000 in today's money. Bushnell turned him down, missed the chance to join the ranks of the world's super rich. He doesn't regret the decision, however, telling ABC in the year 2015, I've got a wonderful family. I got a great wife. My life is wonderful. I'm not sure that if I had been uber rich that I would have all of those things. Well, I don't know. The rich part, I think he would have had a wife, maybe not right, that one, right. You know, but, and I'm sure he would have had a family. $50,000, Leonard. Did you hear me?
$50,000? I did. I get it.
Okay. All right. Let me see. You know, these opportunities, you know, of course, I mean, people like, people like you, you know, you have, when you're rich like you, you know,
that's like who?
What happened?
Who?
Nothing. Who? Nothing. I was thinking. Okay. Here's another one. In the 1980s, film director Steven Spielberg was looking for a chocolate to feature in the upcoming movie E.T. So he very aptly went for Mars and the company M&M's. Mars declined the product placement offer, and Hershey's Reese's Pieces got the role instead. Hershey's agreed to spend $1 million, the equivalent of $2.7 million in today's money, for the promotion of the condition that the company could use E.T. in its own marketing. The deal was a huge success for them, and they made a fortune off of it, just because M&M decided to turn it down. These are the kind of things that happens when you don't take a chance, when you don't take a leap. When you look at most, and unfortunately, when you look at a lot of these, unfortunately, they don't involve people of color. I will say that you don't see that, and it's a shame that we don't get those kind of opportunities, like a lot of these people do. There was one more I wanted to read. Oh, this one about Blockbuster. Of course, we remember the Blockbuster days, right?
Yeah.
It's not often that you meet the thing that kills your business. Even less so when it comes to cap in hand. In 2000, home movie rental company Blockbuster ruled home entertainment when along came Netflix. Okay. A struggling online mail order company in need of cash. Its CEO offered to sell up for $50 million, the equivalent of $75.6 million today, but was left out of the building. We all know what happened next. Netflix got into the streaming business and people stopped renting DVDs. Blockbuster was slow to react and fell into decline. Today, Netflix is valued at more than $213 billion, while Blockbuster Video is all but dead. Crazy.
Yeah, crazy.
You know?
So one thing I was thinking real quick, when we talk about Black people not taking risks, one thing I heard before is what a lot of people do is, And I'm not sure where they go to do this, and maybe we need to check on this ourselves, but they will go to, you know, some type of investment company or something like that, and they will give them, and of course this the ultra rich, they will give them, well, here, we'll keep it ultra rich. They'll give them $100 million. They will take that $100 million and they will split it between like 50 to 70 different like startups, you know, up and rising companies, hoping that just one of them hits one big. Them hit. Yeah, right. And then it's kind of like if one of them hits big, maybe two or three, that could double, quadruple their money. And what it made me think about is that's the story I heard with Nas, when Nas invested in Ring. So going around social media, there are some stories of where he put in $4 million in Ring in the early stages, and his return at some point was like $20 or $30 million. And people are like, oh man, he's such a great investor. But when I was reading one of the backstories, he invested through some company that kind of split different values, you know, hoping that just one company would hit big, and Ring was one of the companies that hit big for him. So,
well, and then, he got lucky to make that kind of money. Now, it's funny.
Right.
He made 20 off a $4 million investment. Seemed like he, you know, you want to hear more for the investment, you know, $4 million, you know. So, but, look, would you and I have the, you know, I always share that one story in the, you know, and I'm going to say the story and then we'll move on. But about what kind of prompted this, you know, because we always call it, you know, story that people miss out, but there's a famous radio personality in the tri-state area who talked about how when he was on the radio years ago, one of his partners came to him and tried to talk him into investing $500 in this new opportunity that was about to happen, this new store that was going to open up, and it was going to be a chain of stores. And his, you know, he said, well, why would I invest $500 in that store? He said, there's already stores like that around. He said, not like this. He said, this is going to be a store you can go to, do one-stop shopping, has everything in it. And to make a long story short, you know, his partner's trying to sell him one. And he said, man, I'm not taking $500, my hard-earned money, and going to invest in something like that. And so he said, that doesn't sound like it's going to make any money. It doesn't make any sense to me or anything. And he didn't do it. Okay. And because he made such a big deal out of it, his partner didn't do it either, you know? So,
so they both lost out.
So they both lost out. And the reason that they lost out is because the guy was saying that the store was going to be this big store, this big hardware store where you can go and do all this shopping. They got everything in it. And it's supposed to be like a big warehouse, but it has all these different things in it. And it's one-stop shopping. And he's selling them all this stuff. And the guy said, well, why would somebody want to do that? I can go right to Ace Hardware and get something, you know, because Ace was the big store back then, you know, and buy the same stuff. And he said, nah, this is going to be something different. It's going to be all over the country, all over the, you know, they're making this big. Well, the place was Home Depot. $500 investment. And he could have made millions of it. And he says, every time he won't even go into a Home Depot. Did I tell you that part? He said he won't even go into a Home Depot now. Yeah, because he's so mad every time he sees one. Or he said he'll go in Lowe's, but he's still mad because he knows it's the same thing, you know, same thing.
Right.
You know, so, you know, so. But that just tells you how we, you know, we tend to be a little hesitant about these things because we work hard for our money, you know. And we
want to. And you know, Dave, it's kind of like the lottery. For every person that wins big, there are probably like 100, 200 people who lost out, you know? So, it really is just taking that risk. And honestly, guys, just getting lucky sometimes.
Timing, luck is just everything. You know what I mean? So, but I just thought that was interesting. So if you ever get a chance to just go online, just look up some of these big business opportunities that people missed out on, and you just say, gosh. And of course, we all say, if I had the money, I invested it, but that's not the case. We know that that's not always going to happen. So speaking of money, I'm going to push it to my next story. That's a good segue for the next story.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, that's a good segue. So I put out there, hold on for a minute. I want to say it the way that I put it out there. I said, what do you do? Here's a scenario for everybody. What do you do if you found a bag containing $1 million and it was tagged with an address on it? And part two of this question, if you keep it, would you spend it? So that's a two-part question. First of all, Leonard, and I'm going to ask you the first part again. What would you do if you found a bag containing $1 million and it was tagged with an address on it, not a name, just an address? What would you do?
So, you know, it's kind of hard because there are cameras everywhere now. But if I found it and I didn't think nobody was around and nobody saw me and nobody's going to come after me, Dave, to be honest, I'd probably keep it. Now, at the very minimum, I'm going to take it back to my house. You know, I'm going to take it back to my house. I'm going to count it.
You go to your house, Leonard?
Well, I mean, where else am I going to go? I'm just going to ride around. What, I'm going to take it to the bank?
No.
I'm going to take it to your house? Where am I going to take it?
You don't want to find a locker? Stick it in a locker or something? Or see if anybody comes after it. Or
I mean, I'm taking that money to my house.
I watch too many movies. I admit, y'all.
So, think about it.
I'd be scared to take it to my house.
Well, but that's why I prefaced it with, if I didn't think anybody saw me, nobody coming after me. Now, before I take it to my house, maybe I look through it, make sure ain't no like GPS or, you know, now if there's guns and drugs, I'm probably gonna turn it into the police. If it's just cash money, I'm probably gonna take it home and do like Tony Montana style, just throw it all over the bed and, you know, me and wifey just, you know, jumping up and down on it.
Yeah. So the bottom line though, you would keep it.
I would want to keep it. So if it made sense.
Wait, hold on. That's not what you said at first. You said I would probably keep it.
Yeah, but I also prefaced it with, if I'm not going to get caught, if nobody's coming after me.
But you can't preface it. How do you know if you're going to get caught or not before you say you're going to keep it?
Now, with keeping it, I probably hold it a little bit because, you know, just in case, let's say someone came and, like, I want to make sure I can give them all their money back if I'm about to get in trouble. But, you know, other than that, I'm keeping it. I'm going to hold it for a little bit, though. I'm going to hold it for, like, a month, maybe 2 months, you know, just to be sure. And, you know, after that, so what we're in April, May, June, you know, June's my anniversary time too. So they, never mind. Yeah, we got to be like Carmen and Diego Santiago.
Yeah, there you go. All right, there you go.
What about you? What you got to do?
Wait, hold on. The second part of the question. So if you keep it, how would you spend it?
So I'm going to spend it so well, won't nobody know I even got it. And I'll just leave it like that.
So you're not going to share, huh? You're just going to spend it and not share, huh?
So I may indirectly share. I'm not going to be like, Dave, guess what? Here's some cash money. But it might be like, hey, Dave, you know, McDonald's on me. What you want? You want a number one? You want what, supersize?
He is not kidding, folks.
Yes, I am. You know I'm kidding.
Look, instead of buying me a McDonald's, he's going to get me McDonald's. That's what he's going to do.
Number one, though.
Get the Happy Meal. Okay. All right. My thinking is, if this was 20 years ago, Leonard, hands down, I'm keeping the bag.
I know you are.
20 years ago. Keep in mind, we ain't got the surveillance stuff. Look, Enemy of the State changed everything. That movie that came out, changed everything, you know, because that movie was way before its time with all the technology they showed us in that movie. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, but if I knew I can pick that bag up and look around and not see a camera anywhere, not seeing and nobody's watching me. You know what? I might take a ride to the address though.
Would you?
To see where it is. All now, right. If it's somewhere in the hood that looks like, you know, there's some crazy stuff going on, this might come back as, you know, might make me think it's drug money or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I might turn that bag in.
Turn it in where?
To that address.
Okay, so if it's in the hood and it looks like it's drug money, you gotta walk it up to the door and be like, hey, can I speak to Pookie?
No.
I got Pookie's money.
I'm gonna say, and look, I'm probably gonna say, did you guys lose something that you were looking for? Because if you did, I might have it. And I'll let them know, hey, look, I didn't take it. Yeah, I'll tell you where I found it. And then hopefully they would know that that's probably where it was lost in that area. You know what I'm saying?
And hopefully they'd know that you done seen some of their drug money, and hopefully they let you live too.
Yeah, well, hopefully I let them know. I said, you know, if it was left in this area, you know, if you don't believe me, you can check the camera, have them check the cameras in that area, letting them know, hey, look, somebody saw me pick up the bag. So, you know, you can check the cameras in that area if you need to check the camera. Then I'm hoping there's a finder's reward. I mean, there's a reward. I'll take the reward, you know, because that way I can live with that, you know. So let's say try to take me out after they give it to me. Right. You know? So that's another thing. But if it's in a rural area, there's no cameras or anything around. I'd be naked in Tahiti somewhere, you okay. know. You know, so I'm just saying it's on then, but I'm probably going to get rid of the money as quickly as I can.
Meaning, on what?
No, I would invest it and try to get it cleaned up, you know, whatever. I don't want any parts of it, you know. I hope it ain't from a bank robbery or anything like that, you know. That's another thing you got to worry about. What if it's from a bank robbery?
Yeah.
You know, or something like that. But I would try to get it. I would try to get rid of it, invest it, try to get it, you know, try to get rid of it as possible. Maybe put money in people's accounts. I wouldn't want to put money in people's accounts. I'd probably hand them cash and say, hey, look, you handle that. Whatever way you want to get rid of it, you get rid of it. You know, I would take care of my buddy Leonard. I would not just buy him a Happy Meal. I would definitely take care of Leonard. See, folks, I'm the bigger of the two. That's why I said that, you know. So he would be taken care of. You know, that new Lexus truck that he always wanted would be there with a little bit of money in the back, you know. So,
look it up.
Yeah. So, but you always have to wonder, you know, if you came across that situation, what would happen? What would you do? But nowadays, with everybody watching, it's a scary thought to have that happen because everybody's watching these days.
But you only think too. I was gonna say everybody's watching, but not everybody's paying attention. You
okay.
know,
like, all right, that's a good statement.
It's always so funny when I'm just thinking now. If I was riding down the street and I saw like a duffel bag on the side of the road and I stopped to like pick it up and look in it, yeah, everybody sees me. But like now we just live in an age where almost nobody care. I mean, of course, this is a crime or something, but
yeah. That's the thing. I know now my second part of the question about what I would do with the money. Yeah, I would take care of family and friends. But, you know, the first thing I'm going to do is make sure that my church is taken care of.
God.
Got to make sure. Yeah, definitely got to do that. Definitely got to make sure we don't own the building that we in. Of course, buying real estate nowadays, probably take all the $1 million that I have trying to buy real estate these days, you know. But if I could find a nice church, you know, that wasn't too expensive, that I can put them in or just pay the rent for, you know, the next how many years, you know, that we need to pay it for, you know, that that's where we are now. Do some remodeling, whatever the case may be. But I would definitely take care of my you know, those people and the house of God, as they say. And then my friends, my closest friends and family would be taken care of as well. I would take a certain amount of it and invest it, hopefully get on this list, not for the blunders, but for the making the list for doing something great, you know, and go from there. But I would do it as discreetly as possible because I don't want nobody to see me doing nothing.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I want to move it in like a dark shadow. That's what I want to do. I want to move that way. So, but folks, we would like to know what you would do in this situation. So make sure that you take a moment, go to our Facebook page, or you can go to the podcast, Podbean, and put it on our Podbean page as well, podbean.com. And just put your comments in. We like reading your comments and let us know what you think you would do if you had that opportunity. All right. So, well, I think we covered everything there, sir. right?
Yeah, we did. We got it done.
All right. Any last words from you?
Nah, just hope everyone has a great rest of the week. Make sure if you're not following us on a podcast platform, make sure you follow, make sure you share it with friends, make sure you join our Facebook page and subscribe to our YouTube channel.
Sure. All right. And we want to thank you guys for listening. And as always, we appreciate every time you guys tune in to us. Share it with a friend. Let everybody know about News and Trends. Let them know how it's your new favorite program to listen to, okay? We really appreciate it. So with that, we're going to say tune in on Friday at 6 o'clock for our weekend roundup, and we'll talk to you then. All right? Have a good night.
Tune in next week, ladies and gentlemen, for another edition of News and Trends with your hosts, Dave and Lynn.
Okay, waiting on my partner to play us out here. You know, I could sing the outro for us if you want me to, you know.